under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here every day on Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issues today. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about an issue today that I think you're already speaking about, thinking about, analyzing. Ladies and gentlemen, we're awakened today, and just take a quick glance around the world, and it seems as though everything is falling apart. Yet, when I look at the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, I recognize that it's not coming apart. It's all coming together. Listen, when we look at the scripture eschatologically speaking, we find that what God has said thousands of years ago is taking place today. We're seeing the shaping up, the beginning, the opening of a new arena on a world stage that fulfills what God's word has said in several eschatological texts that we'll talk about in just a moment. But first of all, in Matthew chapter 24, the scripture tells us that we shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and shall be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, that's diseases, and earthquakes in diverse places. But it's only the beginning of sorrows, the scriptures tell us. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about what's happening today on a global basis, at just about every spot. In fact, I've used the term, you can close your eyes, spin a globe, put your finger on the globe, open your eyes, and there's something taking place there militarily that we would call wars or rumors of wars. That word rumors of wars simply means rumblings, wars and rumblings of wars. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the fact today that it's all coming together. It's all coming to pass. It's all taking place just as God's word has told us that it would take place. Yes, we need to be concerned. Yes, we need to recognize it. Yes, we need to embrace it. Yes, we need to talk about it. Yes, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we ought to be concerned about it. But listen, when we see these things coming about, Luke 21:28 says, "Look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh." So it ought not to be a frightening thing. It ought not to be something that is troubling from the standpoint that we're worried and twisting our hands and screaming, fire, fire, fire. That ought not to be it. We need to be saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that your word is being fulfilled. Should we be interested? Yes. Should we be concerned? Yes. Should we take part in the dialogue and discussion about it? Absolutely, yes. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that it's all coming together. It's not falling apart. It's not coming apart. It is coming together. And for that, I'm thankful for. So ladies and gentlemen, to face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32. Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Let's just pause there for a moment. If God says, "Thy word," the truth, my word is truth, If that is the case, ladies and gentlemen, we ought not to be wringing our hands and hair on fire, worried about what's happening on a global basis, when we look at what is happening in every major strategical location around the globe. We need to recognize God's hands at work, and we need to recognize that the time is ticking. It's countdown time. We're witnessing and watching God bringing it together in these final days, just as he said in his word that he was going to. So when we look at the truth book, the Bible, we need to understand there are multitudes today that reject the truth, laugh at the truth, remonstrate against the truth, and say that there's no such thing as absolute truth. But ladies and gentlemen, it even goes back to the Orwellian days, 47, 48, and 49, when the dystopian novel entitled 1984 was published. George Orwell said this. By the way, he was a secularist. Orwell said this: the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, truth matters regardless of what coast you're on. Could be the left coast or the right coast. Truth still matters. It could be in the realm of morals and ethics and values. Could be in the realm of civil government or theological doctrinal debate. But ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. May I say to you, the latest survey of about 1 year ago now said that most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, their statement, that is, millennials, say that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, what do we do if there's no truth? Where do we find an arbiter for truth? I'm looking at a headline that says Western society will be destroyed without the commitment to truth. I challenge you each and every day with the statement by the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. That we seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and be willing to stand and defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the homeowner brand as well as the professional landscape and lawn care equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the power backup equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24-7. Find that flag at the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a few more moments, I'm going to introduce for our special guest today on Let's Face the Issues, an individual that I think that would be able to answer a lot of our questions about what we see taking place on a national and, yes, even a global basis as we witness what is taking place today with the, how would you say, the war going on in Venezuela, the war taking place in Syria, the war taking place in with Hezbollah in several parts north of Israel. When you look at the war taking place in Gaza, we see the war taking place on a raging, furious pace in Ukraine with Russia. When we see what is taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, on an international scale, it's wars and rumors of wars. Now listen, I would have never dreamed, in fact, I don't believe I've seen it in my lifetime, where as many flashpoints are taking place at the same time. And it seems as though whatever President Trump tries to correct, it breaks out in another skirmish. Now, there are a lot of folks that are saying that Trump shouldn't have gone in, extricated, and pulled out of Venezuela, Maduro, the thug leader. There are a lot of folks wondering, why did Trump do it? Some socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats that are remonstrating because he did. And yet it was Biden, sleepy Joe Biden, autopen Biden, illegally elected, supposedly elected President Joe Biden, that had placed a bounty of $25 million on Maduro's head. And just because Trump brought him out, now all of a sudden the Democrats are saying, why did he do that? Look at what he's doing. And trying to pass legislation that will tie Trump's hands and prevent him from carrying out what he has the authority in the Constitution to do. Now, I'm concerned about that. We're going to talk about that and other major, major things that's taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. We see revolution in Iran. What do you do about it? What should America do about it? Iran is watching, we're witnessing Iran as we watch the churning of a people that's been repressed and mishandled, martyred and murdered for about almost 50 years now. And we're seeing the people saying, we're tired of it. We're sick of it. We want to rise up and change. Is it possible that change can take place? Is it possible that the Revolutionary Guard that is in control there today will be able to fend off the people by the hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of Iranians in the streets? We're going to talk about that today and find out what's happening. How should we respond as Christians, conservatives, and patriots in America? What should we do as a nation? Should we witness and watch as hundreds of thousands, in fact, I believe they've already said some 500 people have been martyred simply for standing up, speaking up against the regime that runs in a dictatorial fashion in Iran? What should be done? We're going to talk about that today. Just look at Syria. American munitions just hit several dozen Islamic jihadist slots. In fact, I believe it was 60 or 70 slots or places that our weapons have fallen out of the sky, if you will, and munitions that's trying to clean out some of the Islamic jihadist holdups in that nation. I'm going to read one article, or a portion of it. Then we're going to introduce our guest today and ask him a lot of these questions. Here's a headline: Trump administration strikes ISIS targets in Syria. The Department of War carried out airstrikes against ISIS targets in Syria, U.S. Central Command announced Saturday afternoon. The article reads, large-scale strikes against multiple ISIS targets across Syria at about 12:30 Eastern Standard Time alongside partner forces. The strikes today targeted ISIS throughout Syria as part of our ongoing commitment to root out Islamic terrorism against our warfighters, prevent future attacks, protect Americans and partner forces in the region. U.S. and coalition forces remain resolute in pursuing terrorists who seek to harm the United States of America. Our message remains the same. If you harm our warfighters, we will find you. We will kill you anywhere in the world, no matter how hard you try to evade justice. That's the words of Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War. We will never forget and we'll never relent, he says in his closing statements. So, ladies and gentlemen, all of these things and many, many more, we want to combine in a thumbnail sketch today and talk about what's happening. And again, I repeat to you, remind you that it's not all falling apart. It's all coming together. Though it looks dangerous, difficult, and deadly, and it is, all of those things, it's coming together just as God's Word said that it would come together. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful today that we had the privilege of having our guest speaker with us today as we interview him and ask questions about the details of these things that are taking place. Today we're delighted to have Congressman Mike Hill. Mike is the former District 1 representative in the Florida House of Representatives. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. I know it's a large subject, a broad subject. We'll try to boil it down and get your take, your insight on some of these things. And then the bottom line is, what should we do as Christians, conservatives, and patriots? How should we then live? Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. And you're absolutely right. It looks like things are just in utter turmoil right now. It looks like that things are a total disaster. But as you say, God has a plan, and things are moving according to his plan. And I will go even a little further than that, Dr. Youngblood. What we're seeing, particularly with the Trump administration right now, is that a lot of the things that have been put in place, both on a national level, in our Western Hemisphere, and also on an international level, a lot of things we are seeing happening are bad policies and bad politics that have been put in place by the Democrats. Obama really accelerated it. Biden just kind of bumbled his way through it. And what we're seeing is Trump undoing a lot of those things that the Democrats have put in place, including removing us from certain committees, from United Nations, and so forth. So it looks like that things are just in utter turmoil. But what I think we're seeing happening are things coming back to a place where it needs to be, where it should be. And I'm not looking at this through Pollyanna glasses or anything. I believe that the United States is poised to take off in a mighty economic way, as long as we can get a number of the policies that the Trump administration is trying to implement right now.
Absolutely. I'm persuaded to believe the very same thing. However, let me ask you a couple of questions for the clarification and the edification for our listeners today. As we see what has taken place in Venezuela, now, you know, I know, and most of our listeners perhaps have already heard, that Biden had set that bounty of $25 million on Maduro's head. I don't think he ever had any intent to try to enforce the legal remedies of what we had the authority to do with Maduro, but Trump did. Now, here's my thought as I drill down to how the Maduro was taken out of Venezuela. I find it intriguing to discover some of the weaponry, some of the defense mechanisms that was put into place to extract him in a few moments. Now, different reports have come out. I've read two or three of them. One person that supposedly was there, one person that supposedly was part of the guards trying to guard the Maduro, said that over 100 people were killed, that some type of instrument was used, a sound wave instrument that deafened all of those around, caused them to fall on the ground, bleeding out of the eyes, ears, mouth, and nose, and they were left helpless while Maduro was extracted. Now, I'm sure something that probably happened, but I don't know the details of it. What do you know in that realm of some highly sophisticated supersonic weaponry that was used that would be a wavelength that would cause that, that America has? I don't know. I'm not criticizing it. I'm thankful if that was used, but it has a larger implication in my mind as to the future tense of the Antichrist using something like that to control the whole world. What are your thoughts on that?
Dr. Youngblood, I have seen some excerpts on this new technology. It's not even new, really. It's been under development for probably a couple of decades now, but it hasn't been used widespread like that, particularly in what could be a combat situation. But what it does is it will send out intense, high-level sound waves, almost at the microwave level, that will cause extreme pain to someone who is in the vicinity of that. I've seen where it's been more directed, such as at a single person or at other other targets, but to see it widespread like that, I think this is a first. Except for, I can recall seeing there were some protests going on in a European city. I think it might have been in Ireland, but don't quote me on that, where the law enforcement came in and sent out a huge sound wave that affected all the people who were in the street at that time, to the point where it stopped them in their tracks. More than half the crowd backed up, but after just a few seconds, maybe 30 seconds or so, they all started moving forward again. So it is technology that is out there, and like you, I was fascinated by it and also thankful that the United States has that kind of technology, that they were able to go in and complete that mission without any U.S. casualties at all and complete it effectively. It was utterly amazing when you look at the precision that was needed to get that done, and they did it, and they came in, captured what they wanted to do, and left. And it has put on notice not only other nations in the Caribbean or in Central and South America, but it also put on notice some of our major adversaries, such as China and Russia. In particular, how they were able to come in and totally neuter the Russian and Chinese radar equipment so that it was completely ineffective as they came in and did their egress of obtaining Maduro.
It was interesting, fascinating. In fact, as I understand it, the equipment that America used put all the lights out, neutered, as you used the term, all of the cell phones and the telephone communication, left them isolated in a position where we could go in and carry out the task. Now, we don't have time for a theological depth study, but I'm looking at Zechariah, the 14th chapter, after the Lord Jesus Christ returns and the battle is wrapped up. And here's what the scripture says in Zechariah 14:12. "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth." And now, I don't know about you, but that technology that we just spoke of that was used by America reminds me of the future tense when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and slays all of the enemies against the nation of Israel and Jerusalem in particular. I believe that sets the stage for future tense battles, as I would call it, and not only the battle there, but the battle that I think we're entering into as we speak is the Ezekiel 38 and 39, where Russia is leading a five-nation coalition against the nation of Israel. In fact, Russia will lead, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, they'll lead Iran, Turkey, Germany, Libya, and Syria against Israel. And I believe we're seeing the stage being set on that. But that's another major discussion for another day. My question is, with the interim president in Venezuela, will she follow the leadership, the direction, and the requirements of President Trump with the United States of America? Or does she have that authority now based on the, I call it the thugs, the Revolutionary Guards and the thugs that had been protecting Maduro? Will she follow what we're saying? I know that the news has been out that for the past year she's been working with Trump and working with America, etc. I don't know the depth and the breadth of that, but speak to that for just a moment from your perspective.
Well, I think, Dr. Youngblood, she doesn't have much of a choice, that she needs to work with President Trump and his administration, or she could face the same thing that happened to Maduro. It's that simple, and she saw what happened. She saw the effectiveness of that. And so it's in her best interest to cooperate. Now, on the other side, those cartels, those terrorists and drug cartels that have such a strong sway on the country, they're putting pressure on her, too, because they want to continue their illicit lifestyle, which allows them to rob, steal, and kill people for their own benefit. They don't want that to stop. And so they are putting pressure on her, too, to not cooperate. She's really in a tough position right now, and we'll have to see how this plays out. But I think the message was sent out loud and clear by President Trump and what happened with the Maduro raid, that the United States is not to be trifled with. They are not to be taken lightly. And when they want to come in and perform and execute, they will, and nearly in a flawless manner.
When we see what is taking place there, and we could talk about Venezuela and what's happening there for hours and hours, so I want to take two or three more moments on that subject and transition some. But due to the embargo on the oil from Venezuela, the negative effect that it's having on Cuba and China and Russia other areas around the globe, explain that to our listeners. We've heard some of that on the news, but I don't believe it has been effective from a theological, doctrinal, biblical perspective with how this affects others, that then affects the big picture for the final days, especially in Ezekiel 38 and 39. What will be the negative effect with the blockade of oil out of Venezuela, and how will it affect Russia as far away as it is, and China as far away as it is, and Iran? How will the blockade of oil affect these other nations, and what will it redound to from our understanding?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, as you know, Venezuela is sitting on the world's largest quantity of oil. It's an amazing amount. It's almost double of what you see in Saudi Arabia and the Middle Eastern nations. So how Maduro and before him Chavez were using that oil, where they were giving a lot of it to Cuba. Cuba would then sell it just to keep its illegal regime in power. Not enough to help the people who were there. That is not what was happening. It was just to keep the illegal communist there in power. So by blockading that oil, it cuts off Cuba altogether. They no longer have a source of being able to sell that oil to prop up their regime. What it also does is it sends out a clear picture to not only Cuba, but Brazil, China, India, what was called BRICS, where they were trying to set up an alternative a monetary system to remove the dominance of the U.S. dollar. They thought they could do that, and they were going to use the Venezuelan oil as a pretext for doing that. Well, that's all shattered now. There's no way you're going to, and Trump knew that, and that was part of his movement of why he had to go in and stop Maduro, why he had to go in and seize that oil, not because the U.S. needs that oil, but to stop them from using it for their illegal and illicit operations, to keep them in power, and also to try to come up with another monetary system to challenge the dollar.
So what you're saying is what I would call a summary statement in relationship to your discussion is the end result of what we've done in Venezuela will bring to the table our enemies out there in other nations, and those in particular that wanted to cancel the what's called the petrodollar, the U.S. dollar, in international trade, and bring them to the table and the realization and recognition that they can't do that anymore. I don't know about you, but I say that with a little bit of laughter, because with one fell swoop, President Trump has done more than all of the previous presidents combined have done to control that aspect of global enmity against America and the desire to undermine, tear down, and destroy the American system. if you want to use the term that I would use, President Trump has allowed the muscle of America to be flexed to bring about that which protects America. And all of that being said, Congressman Hill, I believe it's from the hand of God, divine intervening into the affairs of man that's bringing this about in our nation. Congressman Hill, we're going to take the top of the hour news. We'll be right back right after the news. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.